from the second floor of the Duncan Student Center. For the first time all year, I think, my mic is actually working, like, right off the hop, it sounds like, which is really nice. We are back after a brief, unexpected, but honestly kind of predictable bye week, given our schedules last weekend. Last weekend, going into Friday morning or whatever. But Five for Fighting Irish, it is back. It is better than ever, mainly because we only had, like, three shows before, so we haven't really set that high of a bar just yet. But we have returned Andrew McGinnis, Tyler Reedy, Ryan Murphy. How are you doing on this gloomy, but honestly, like, still kind of comfortable outside Friday morning?
Well, for Murph and myself, is my mic on?
I don't think it is. I can't hear it. I mean, it's, I have it on.
I don't think mine's on either.
It's just going to be a solo show today, folks. Thankfully, our technical director, Jacob Irons, is on the case. He's not betrayed our friendship after I haven't sent in the clips for this Shamrock Sports show today for NDTV. I honestly don't really know if I have a favorite Notre Dame football game, Jake. I'm going to be honest, from my 4 years.
Choose a hockey game. That's probably what I'll do.
I honestly could. The Ohio State shootout, I was on the call for that.
We on?
You're on.
Technical directing. Technical
directing. Oh, my gosh.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. All right, here you go, T-Reed.
Someone give this man a 50K salary.
Yeah, 50K.
All right, we have the whole crew here.
Yay!
Our starting three plus Jake ready to make a line change if we need to. Speaking of ND hockey, though, Tyler, how about last weekend? We finally once again broke the split streak much earlier this season than last year, and they did it in pretty emphatic fashion.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling Murph they didn't sweep Big Ten series last year till the end of January, and that was against the Wisconsin team that went 6-18. But I mean, now you do it 2 weeks into November against Ohio State. You do it with back-to-back three-goal victories, take their spot just inside the top 20. A very encouraging sign. Ryan Bischel had, I think, his best series of the year so far: 60 saves on 61 shots. He's now again among the best in the country in terms of both save quantity and save percentage. And a lot to be encouraged about, a lot to be excited about as they go up to Minnesota and try and battle a top 10 team in the Twin Cities tonight.
Do you think Ryan Bischel heard Jacob Irons' concerns that he wasn't on his A game at the start of the year and took it personally?
Wow.
I'm just saying.
He had one bad game.
He had one bad game and then ultimately said, you know what? I listened to this show at 9 a.m. on Friday mornings and said, you know what? That Jake Irons, who calls himself the legal analyst,
he's a clown.
He knows nothing. Nothing. And you know what, Ryan Bischel? You are right. I knew nothing. I am so happy you proved me wrong. However, I'm shooting 1-for-2 right now. You know who's a big star coming out of that Ohio State series? The man, the myth, the legend, Justin Janicki. Looked like he was skating with purpose, had a goal second of the season. You're starting to see the production, like I talked about, starting to go into Big Ten play. This guy is the real deal. He's starting to move it up, and especially if he wants to play on a pro contract.
He better not score too much, though, because honestly, the way the Kraken season going, they may just sign him mid-year.
Yeah.
Like, who was that goalie a few years ago who left mid-season?
Out of Minnesota to go to Carolina, because that was when Carolina was having goalie issues, which I think they're still having, and I don't...
They are still having
I don't know whatever happened to him, because they're still having those goalie issues.
Given that they signed Yaro Halak to a PTO, I'm going to guess it didn't turn
boy.
Out.
No, just to go back to the Janikis, though, I mean, Notre Dame needs them, and the way that they've been playing with that line centered by Cole Knubel, I think it's awesome. I mean, you can't not love
who
two
had
brothers
his first collegiate goal.
Yes, and
on Saturday night, long time coming.
I'm so curious to see, and I don't know if like an empty net goal will get the monkey off his back.
I think it's already off, right?
But I'm so curious to see, because Coach Jackson's been saying this entire, you know, first month of the season, when he gets that first one, they're just gonna come. And he's been banging that drum. And honestly, I'm with him. I believe him. I think Cole is, and I'm sure you want to believe this too. I think he's a natural born goal scorer, right? So we'll see what comes out of him. But no. Exciting to see him pot his first one there at the end of Saturday's game as well.
It was not the easiest empty netter, too, I will just say.
No, he had to get on his horse for that.
A backhander from, like, the outside of the circle.
Yeah.
On the move.
Oh, totally.
With some pressure on the back check.
Totally.
as a fire burned behind him and the fate of the universe hung in the balance. Martians with a death beam pointing at the Earth.
Give me Knievel.
I want Cole Knievel. He comes through. The Irish came through. Even Landon Seiger's finally like, yeah, I'll finally get a few assists after scoring all those goals at the start of the year. He's got three now.
Can I also bring up a point that I don't think hockey fans are going to like on this show?
Well, that implies there are fans on this show.
Yes, that does. We're just objective. I understand it's huge that I'll say this and then I'll get out of your hair for the rest of the show.
But we have five current listeners, I will say that.
High five, listeners. We're so happy to have you here.
The screen just went away, though, so maybe they all just left.
Well,
I wonder why.
They can hear the ginger from here.
Wow. Jeez. Hello. Shot across the bow.
It's not a hockey show without a chirp or two.
No, it's not. I want to bring up a point that I want to talk about for this Ohio State game. Ohio State was picked to be last in this Big Ten preseason poll. I understand, like...
They looked like it.
They did look like it, but they were ranked... They were nationally ranked, but... And I think this was something that Tony Simeone and Steve Conroy brought up on the broadcast, is like, Notre Dame...
Friend of the show, Tony Simeone.
Friend of the
show. He doesn't know it exists, but Tony Simeone. He knows at least... He knows all of us exist.
He would be a friend if he knew it existed.
Exactly.
But I would love to, like... They were the last ranked team for a reason, and they showed it a little bit in the barn of Compton. But, like, does that disprove anything you guys think for this hockey team and how they were able to get it done? That everyone assumed Ohio State was going to be bad, and then they played a little above their mark in the non-conference slate, and then now they're here a little bit in conference slate, starting to pick up where everyone thought they were going to be.
If you don't mind me jumping into the first word on this, guys, I don't think so, just because of the way they played. Like, I think that has something to do with it, right? Like, you temper your expectations, like, sweeping Ohio State, because I wasn't too impressed by Ohio State. You know, I think they clearly have some issues, particularly offensively, right? Like, they scored one goal against Notre Dame. And don't get me wrong, I think Notre Dame was great defensively as well this weekend. I thought it was their best defensive performance between the goaltender, but also the guys in front of the goaltender as well. So I think you're right. There is a certain sense where you have to temper your expectations with that. But I just thought, outside of portions in Saturday night's game, and I've spent a long week, so of course those portions are eluding me, and I don't have my notes in front of me. But there are portions in Saturday night's game.
Murph's notes are the Irish Insider, by the way. Yeah. Read the Observer.
Yeah. Where Ohio State outplayed Notre Dame, right? But I would say overall, if you're looking at the two games, I thought it was a pretty convincing sweep in terms of the Irish dictating the pace of play, right? I thought Friday they dictated it outside the first 5 minutes, and you know, maybe the last 5 or 10 minutes. I thought that they dictated the entire game. Saturday was a little bit more back and forth, but you're going to expect that. And if that's what a pushback looks like from a Big Ten team, and again, last place in the Big Ten is still pretty good. You know, I thought Notre Dame handled it very well, and I was more impressed with the way they played than the actual result, which is also, you know, pretty important.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a sweep to lose your mind about, because, you know, Ohio State, Penn State, we're still not entirely sure how good they are. I mean, they don't have the big wins on their schedule yet, like Minnesota or Michigan. I mean, Ohio State went into Ann Arbor and gave up 7 goals a couple weeks ago. But, you know, what I think it does do
that's
is it tells...
right?
Yeah,
that's bad.
A little bit rough. I mean, we gave up 8 that same weekend, but hey, what are you going to do? I do think what this is telling us about Notre Dame hockey, though, is that they're doing the things that they couldn't do early on last season that ultimately kept them just out of the NCAA tournament. You're playing better in series openers. You're not...
That's right.
I mean, the old adage is if you're going to win on Saturday, but eventually Notre Dame, we talked about last year, they didn't win a series opener in the Big Ten until that shootout win against Minnesota mid-January. Unbeaten in their last 4 series opener going back to the BU series in the middle of October. You got a sweep already under your belt. And now I think, looking ahead, you got this gauntlet of a schedule, which, I mean, Jeff Jackson kind of dispelled that notion because it's a Big Ten. It's always a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Anybody can beat you any given night. We know that. If you can go through this Minnesota, BC, Michigan, at Michigan State, 4-week stretch to go into the holiday break. And if you can take the majority points of that somehow, then that's a different conversation to be had. But right now, what we can say is that we are seeing signs of improvement. We're seeing different things than what we saw last year, which is what we want.
That's exactly it. I think that's the most encouraging thing for me is, like, Coach Jackson's talked about getting better every weekend, right?
Yep.
And he talked about after Ohio State, this team is implementing the things in practice that, like, we're trying to do to get better, which I think we saw last year, for lack of a better word, was stagnation, right? They just, for whatever reason, for what all the talent that they had, couldn't implement the things to get better every weekend. And this team, I would say, has more pure talent than last year's team and is showing a knack for improvement, right? And I think, how can you not be encouraged by that? If you look at the last six games as a whole, they've gotten better from Mercyhurst to Penn State, and they got better from Penn State to Ohio State. And the results are bearing that as well. So,
I want to shift from a team focus to more of an individual one, but I do want to start this conversation by sticking with Notre Dame for just a brief moment. So, if you don't know, the Hobie Baker Award is the award given out to the top collegiate player annually. Some of the best players in the NHL now have been contenders for or won the award. So is Mike Vecchione, but so it doesn't always pan out. It's not a guaranteed sign of
that was Andrew McGinnis' trivia moment of the day, right there.
It really was. Shane Gostisbehere recruited him to the Flyers, and it just didn't really matter.
Every moment with Andrew, I think every other moment at least is a trivia moment, but that's one of them.
Out of every three. But the Hobie Baker Award, obviously, I said essentially the Heisman Trophy of college hockey, obviously early in the year, but some early contenders emerging. And I think you certainly have to say that the guy with the third most saves in the country and the second best save percentage is a contender, and that is one Ryan Bischel.
Yeah, he's Notre Dame's best shot. I mean, unless Landon Slaggart somehow keeps up his torrid scoring start to the season, which, you know, I don't see being as sustainable as Ryan Bischel being a really good netminder. I think Bischel is Notre Dame's best shot. He's got a proven track record, reigning Big Ten goaltender of the year in a really difficult conference. In the running for the Mike Richter Award last season, was incredible down the stretch. So you know he's going to – his best hockey is still probably yet to come, and yet his save percentage is already top five in the nation. So a lot to be excited about there, and you just know that there's going to be consistency. Without going back to what Jake was saying, Steve Conroy, the vision of consistency. That's how he described Ryan Bischel over the weekend in that 60-save, two-game performance against Ohio State. So he's been fun to watch, and he's the guy right now for Notre Dame, no question.
Yeah, I was with you know, I know Giants kind of brought it up at the beginning. I was with him there, but I think, you know, Bischel might not have gotten off to the start of the season he might have hoped. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting case. It's too early for me. I think if you're – it's got to be really convincing for a goaltender to win the Hobie Baker. I know we had one not too long ago with Dryden McKay at Minnesota State. And I think
I'm the trivia poll guy.
Well, I wanted to see. I'm like, well, it is pretty rare. And I went through and – but I wanted to double check. I was like, well, when's the last one? And it wasn't that long ago.
I'm just realizing that Matt Carl won this award.
Yeah, there are some names on this list that
Phantoms
are really
legend,
like
Andy Mieli. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing
Blake
that right.
Blake Cheffrion. You know, there's some really.
It is very hit or miss.
Yes. It certainly.
Two of the last four have been Kale McCarr and Cole Caulfield, and the other two have been McKay and Scott Perunovich.
Yes. And that is the interesting thing about the award, too. Like, I think, and I think, again, it's still just like it's too early to debate Ryan Bischel's candidacy for this award, purely because he's a goaltender. We don't know Notre Dame ceiling is raised and their floor is raised by Ryan Bischel, right? Or put it this way, their floor is raised by Ryan Bischel.
Sounds like what you said
about
Sam Hartman.
I don't know if the ceiling is raised, right? We'll see. But I was having a talk with Kian. Kian asked me whether I think Ryan Bischel could be a good NHL goaltender. And I was like, he's just old, right?
Yeah.
He's just old. Yeah. But
he's also only 6'1", which is not very tall for NHL goaltender.
Yeah. That's what I told him. And he was, surprised that I was like, no, he might get a contract, but it's a different thing when it's in forward and D where you have, you have more spots, right? So that's an aside, but I it'll be interesting to watch. I'm also interested in, I love the way Landon's playing. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know if I think he'll certainly be a nominee from the team in that big, long list of nominees that they throw out early in February or whatever, but yeah.
Yep. 8 goals on the year, which is tied for 3rd in the NCAA. The last goaltender before McKay, it looks like, to win the award was Ryan Miller back in 2001.
Right.
Obviously, wound up having quite the NHL career.
I think there's only, has there only been three? Rob Stauber. I'm looking at the list here. Rob Stauber, Ryan Miller, and Dryden McKay. You know, I think it's that to me, it's pretty rare,
yep,
right?
Just those three out of 42. Yeah. It's 30 forwards and 9 defensemen. So forwards generally have the edge. It makes sense. They put up a lot of points. And just looking at the NCAA points leaders right now, you've got two guys who haven't even hit their NHL draft year yet near the top of the list. One is at the top of the list in Macklin Celebrini at Boston U, to be the first overall pick in the NHL draft. You not too far down the list as well, Gabe Perreault. He hasn't been, I'm correct on that, right? He hasn't been drafted?
He was.
Yes.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, yes. He was a first-round pick by the Rangers, 23rd overall. Some other notable names up there as well. Rucker McGroarty, who I know we are familiar with from his time at Michigan. The latest Hughes brother, also at Michigan, and TJ Hughes. Will Smith at Boston College, who was another first-round pick. And tied for the lead in scoring in the nation with 18 points are two Denver teammates in Jack Devine, and Massimo Rizzo. And I wonder what fortunate team holds his NHL rights.
I think they must be so happy
right now.
Well, he's pretty old, too. He's been there a while.
Tony D'Angelo trade, baby.
Let's ride.
Sorry, it wasn't technically the D'Angelo trade because we had to buy him out. The NHL would like us to be very clear about that. If you had to give a prediction among some of the skaters who are up there, someone who might stand out there at the end of the year, I feel like Celebrini is the chalk pick. Is it going to be him or is someone going to like try to make a push? Because he is tied for the lead in scoring. I don't think he's run away with it yet.
I've got him. Last year we saw the top drafted college skater and Adam Fantilli win it out of Michigan, and I think it's going to ring true again this year. Macklin Celebrini could very well, and at this point is probably best positioned to go number one overall in the 2024 draft, and you know, I think with the quality of BU's schedule and what he's already done against a bunch of really, really good opponents this year, and the way I think BU will probably keep getting better and better as the season's gone on, they're still kind of flying under the radar right now. Got off to that really slow start through the first couple weeks of the season, now starting to pick it back up and slowly rise through that top 10. I think the headlines will turn back fully to Macklin Celebrini as he continues to score. I'm also keeping an eye on one of his teammates, Lane Hutson. He's already got a hat trick this season. His brother had one too, I'm pretty sure. So Lane Hudson's got 8 goals tied with Macklin Celebrini from the defenseman's position. So those two, it'll be interesting to watch how much numbers they can put up this season. They're good.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think there are going to be a lot of eyes on you're going to see a lot of eyes on Celebrini. I do like Rizzo. I haven't watched Denver play this year, but by all accounts from what I've read, he's been absolutely dynamite. Obviously not as much goal scoring as assists, but he hasn't had a problem with that in the past necessarily. 17 goals last year, 12 the year before. So I think he's going to be in the conversation by the end of the year. I think Rucker McGroarty, who you brought up, you know, obviously off to a good start, he'll be an interesting guy. Maybe this is my own personal, you know, I don't see it from him. I think he's a talented player. I think he's a very skilled player. He's small, you know, 6'1", but to me, he's always kind of played like a smaller player. I don't know.
14th overall pick. I didn't realize he was that high.
14th overall pick. Extremely skilled. Extremely skilled. I see it as kind of being right now, Rizzo and Celebrini are the two that are very clearly in the front of the conversation for me. Isaac Howard, I think, is going to be interesting at Michigan State because I think he's a very good player, but we'll see how or maybe I'm thinking of Brinley. Brinley's the smaller of the guys.
Yeah,
he's 5'9". Yeah. No, I would say the same thing about McGroarty as well. But
what do you think about the narrative that Macklin Celebrini is just a byproduct of his teammate and Flyers prospect Devin Kaplan?
We watched him play here a month ago. That's not true. I hate to say it.
It was a rare off night. You know, we just got two new listeners, so I'm sure they agree. The thing went away again.
There are a ridiculous number of Michigan players on this list of
three in the top 12 in scoring, and then two more within the top 50.
Are they still the number one team in so Denver's the number one team in scoring, 5.2 goals per game. Michigan's number two, 4.6.
Makes sense.
You know,
I will say I'm not sure this list is accurate because it doesn't show Landon Slaggart. So
you are
right
about that.
Shout out the NCAA website, just doing a banger job.
Let's see, where is...
Like, I'm pretty sure he's just straight up not on there.
You're correct. Yeah.
Yeah, not really sure. Oh, no, there he is. There he is. He's 65th. You have to go to page two. And if you sort by goals, then he...
Yeah. I'm trying to sort this by points.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, yep, there he is. They should list him higher among the people with points.
Yeah.
You know, I will raise another name, and actually a goalie. Philip Svedbeck at Providence has been really good. He's got the most minutes played in college hockey right now. .920 save percentage. You know, I think he's been a big part of like what really don't you see him on that list of points? Like, you see one Providence college player, mm-hmm. you know. Schmelar, I don't know if I'm saying that right, 13 points. Like, you know, a little bit similar to Notre Dame where you just see one name and it's Landon Slaggart. But, you know, the goaltending and the Providence defense has kept them off to a really good start. I don't know how they did last night. I think they were playing last night.
Lost
3-2. Okay.
Yep.
So not a timely name for me to bring up maybe. But
is that the dagger?
I think if you're looking at goalies, right, if we're going to talk about Bischel, we should probably be talking about him as well. Just another name for us there.
Thank you for covering while I send my Snapchat streaks there. All right, why don't we go to our favorite activity of the show, or at least my favorite, and it's not talking about more random Flyers prospects, although it might be bringing up some
Nothing
random Flyers
better than that.
As well here as we go to Puckdoku. And it's an all-teams grid today, which I appreciate. From left to right, we have Anaheim, Buffalo, Chicago. We've always had one of your guys' teams on the show. I don't know if the Flyers have been on for a Friday yet.
They have not.
Which is probably fair given how much I talk about them. And then vertically, we have Arizona, Boston, and Nashville. Any takers, gents?
Yes, I'm going to go back to my Notre Dame alum here, Chicago, Arizona. Vinny Anastroza.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Here we go.
Is Alex Stalock a Predator? Am I making that up? I know he was a Hawk.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was pretty good at the start of last year.
Was he on Nashville though? I'm trying to remember. Or no, am I thinking of someone else?
Yeah, he's been around a little bit.
I feel like I'm thinking of someone else. I'm gonna hold off on that one for now. Nashville. I don't know why. Good one. Buffalo, Boston, Curtis Lazar. Mm. The classic. Remember the Taylor Hall trend, and then remember, oh yeah, they included Lazar.
The
in
other
that.
Guy.
That is the best way to go about Puckdoku. Ooh, Anaheim, Boston. Why don't I go with David? I'm gonna go with Andre Kasha.
I have Frank Vetrano there.
5% for Kasha. Maybe I should go with David Backes.
Vetrano's got 3%.
That's a solid one.
I'll go with Backes and see what he gets. 5%.
Okay, so it would have been the exact same. Good to know. Ooh, So for Buffalo, I could do Carter Hutton for Buffalo, Nashville, or Buffalo, Arizona. We got options.
I have
chance.
No idea.
It's annoying because
Buffalo, Arizona. So I'm gonna go Carter Hutton there.
Jimmy 2%. VC could have been for Buffalo Nashville because he was drafted by Nashville but never actually played any games with the Predators, which is very annoying.
That was
Do they count that?
Nope. You have to play a game.
That to me was the most obnoxious thing ever. Like, I remember being in, what were we in, middle school, high school, early high school or something like that, and just being so irate that he refused to play for the Predators coming out of Harvard. Like, and I still get, like, it's within his rights, obviously, but he essentially was like, nah, I don't want to play for Nashville. I want to play in New York.
Preds got pretty good right after he made that call.
Yeah, like, all right.
You fool.
Passed on a trip to the Stanley Cup Finals or whatever.
Yep.
Nicholas Jalmerson got 11% for Chicago, Arizona. Probably could have thought of a better one there, but I just played it safe.
Nicholas Jalmerson. I miss him.
Sabres Predators. Why do I feel like, oh gosh, was Derrick Roy like an end of career Predator? There's one of those guys who was like in Buffalo for a long time and then I think went to Nashville. It might have been Derrick Roy. I don't know if I want to risk it.
You want me to put it in? Let's see.
If you want to.
I don't mind. Derrick Roy, 3%.
Let's go. I'm putting in there, even though I usually like to not do it. So I'll put Carter Hutton then for Buffalo and Arizona. He gets 2%, which is a good score. Oh, Anaheim, Arizona. We finally get my first random Flyers memory. Guys, it's only show why you have to be mad. Oh, 17% for Briz.
Oh, Ilya Briz. Oh, but yeah, I mean, come on.
Well, it was so long ago.
It's just game. Why you be mad?
I don't think he was with Anaheim that long. Although I do believe he was there. I think he was their backup when they won the final. I think he is the Stanley Cup champion. I'm checking that. Yep, 2007 Stanley Cup champion. Good for Briz. Yeah, after his hopes and dreams were shattered with the Wild in 2014 by Patrick Kane, especially. Yeah.
What else do we have?
Chicago, Boston. Why have I not gotten for this one yet?
I have a 0.8% for that one.
Oh wow.
Chicago, Boston?
Don't tell me.
Yeah, I'll let you keep going there.
Also,
because I'm still working on Chicago, Nashville here.
Come on, you gotta have some critical thinking. Paul Gostad wasn't a Hawk, right? No, Antoine Vermette wouldn't work either. Could have done him, but I think for Ducks Coyotes, that might have been better. That would have been actually better than Briz. Dang it. I always try to think of like some goalies, but I'm having a hard time.
I get an 8% for Chicago Boston.
Oh. Man.
Not a 0.8%.
I'm trying to think of like 2013 guys.
Why you have to be mad?
Running through. Boychuk's a no, obviously. Nicoletti's a no.
I feel like Chicago and Nashville don't trade much with each other.
Nope.
Like they're just nope. I've got
one for them, but there's not been much cross pollination there.
I need to like
good word
dive
cross pollination.
yeah. That's our vocab word of the day.
Yes. Fighting Irish word of the day is presented to you by. We have no sponsors.
It's true. Brought to you by my friend's show on Wednesdays. A little bit of this. Wednesdays at 4. They make me laugh a lot.
Brought to you by Ilya Brizgalov. Why you have to be mad?
Yes. If we had more time, we'd play the whole universe interview, and it would make me happy.
So good.
Even though I wasn't really a hockey fan at the time.
I did pull it up on my computer. I pulled up the soundbite.
Why don't you... I was going to say, if you find like a transcript, you could read like a little bit to us. Especially as I'm really struggling here. We might have to move on, but I don't want to.
Who are you looking for right now?
I'm looking for Chicago, Boston, Chicago, Nashville, and Anaheim, Nashville.
So I've got the Chicago column filled out.
Here. I will say it always. There. This is my worst nightmare because when teams play like a playoff series against each other in recent memory, I feel like I always think that there's a player who like split time with them in that series more often than there actually is, just because like I associate the two teams closer in my head and. You know, obviously, Chicago's going to last, like, full year playoff series.
I can see.
Boston was the final about a decade ago.
Nashville
had a couple of series. James Neal wouldn't work. Oh, gosh. Mike Fisher was on the wrong side of the 07 final. Arvidsson's with L.A., not Anaheim.
Mike Fisher had an OT winner on Anaheim with Nashville, right?
No, San Jose. That was the triple overtime.
Oh, San Jose.
James Neal.
I'm thinking of the next year.
Yeah, James Neal had the overtime winner in game one.
Yeah, conference finals.
Nate Thompson was never a Predator. George Parros was never a Predator. You have a scared look on your face, Murph.
Looks like we got a goal light going on in the studio here. I don't know what that is or why, but...
I think
it's threatening.
Loki might be to like signal a caller, but we never even like put the number up there. I see this little NDTV thing.
We do have
here.
A caller. Do you want to?
I don't know how to do this.
NDTV. I think maybe we should.
Hello, caller. Maybe it says on air. I don't know what I did right or wrong. Hold on. I probably have to. Is there a phone on?
Hello.
Anyone? Going once.
Who would know our number?
Going twice.
I wonder
kind of hot. Jake, buddy, you're going to have to get your steps in. I'm sorry.
He's about to storm in here.
Well, caller.
And take over the air.
Caller one, whoever you may be. We encourage you to call back.
Oh, he just hung up.
We encourage you to give us a call back and
or walk
we'll
over.
We'll know hopefully next time how to unmute you.
Yeah. I mean, I did hit the all right. We'll move on to general NHL talk. And as I struggle.
You're going to keep doing this?
I always keep doing it.
Okay.
I mean, I put the
I'm
little.
I'm curious. I'm just looking at it.
Murph, will you come whisper your 8% in my ear? I want to know who you are.
Here he comes.
It's really an obvious 8%. I'm surprised
you got it. Oh, I heard you say Phil Esposito, but it made me think of Taylor Hall, so I'm just going to put him.
Jared Tenorti.
Oh, no way! Habs legend Jared Tenorti! Taylor Hall got 16%, which honestly is not as high as I thought.
Yeah, that isn't as high.
Habs legend Habs Jared legend. Tenorti. He could lay the body. My dad loved him. I never liked him.
Tough dude. Tough dude.
Yeah,
he took like three pucks to the face last year.
You know, the Habs have had a number of those guys over the years who are like pretty tough customers. Mm-hmm. And just not that good of, like, nothing dishing on, like, Jared Tenorti, but, like, not that good of a hockey player.
Nathan
Beaulieu? Anyone remember Nathan Beaulieu?
Oh, yeah. Josh Georges?
Oh, I love Josh Georges. He was one of my favorites. He was a good hockey player. That's my era, man. What's up with you? You're struggling.
I'm saying Stalock for Chicago Nashville. I'm pretty sure.
To figure it out.
No, who am I thinking of? Who's that goalie?
I didn't do a goalie.
It's the goalie. Kevin Lankinen! No!
Brian Lankinen. Ryan Hartman.
Flyers legend. I don't know why Dallas didn't give him a qualifying
offer.
He's
trying to call in again.
Let's see. Oh, I hit the wrong button. Oh, no. Hello?
Nope.
I can hear you. Hold on. Now?
Nope.
I can hear you from you being 5 feet away, but I can't hear you on the... anything. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay. NHL news?
Yeah. how are your guys' LinkedIn pages? Are they updated?
I hope Todd Woodcroft is.
So Todd Woodcroft?
Is that his first name?
Jay
Woodcroft.
Jay
sorry.
Woodcroft.
It's early.
It is early. I literally went out of bed at like 8:35.
I hope Jay Woodcroft is. It yeah. shouldn't be his, though.
So the Edmonton Oilers currently sitting at 31st in the NHL. Fewer points this year than Notre Dame.
Oh, gosh.
Within their respective
formats.
What a stat. Formats.
A few more.
Oh, the volume wasn't up. Oh, no.
Give me a hot set.
Jacob Irons is gonna give us some insight.
I don't
want to
see
who the Oilers are looking
caller.
Into.
I can see our caller.
Not if he hides himself well. Just get down, Jake.
Interesting that we have a light in here to indicate caller.
Oh, here it goes, folks. You're about to hear history. Hello.
Oh, that's him.
Oh, hello. And who would be speaking with on this fine morning?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Arthur from Connecticut. It's hey, I'm named after.
Is that your dad's name or something?
No, I was named after an Arthur. His nickname was Jake, so then I got Jake. But
is it the TV character?
I am not Arthur. No, I am not from PBS. First time.
That would be fitting given what industry you're looking to go into.
First time caller, long time listener.
Of course.
Wow. I mean, that's technically true.
He thinks this is the fan.
This is the fan. from my experience, this is awesome.
All right.
All right, what do you got to say?
Jake, who should the Oilers hire as their next head coach?
Ooh, this is a good one. Who's the bench coach of the Las Vegas Golden Knights?
Trick question. There are no bench coaches.
Yeah. they're all bench coaches because they coach on the bench.
I think Dominique Ducharme. He is a bench coach on the Vegas Golden Knights.
No, actually, that's
coach.
Crazy.
Dominique Ducharme, yes.
Especially because right, the one playoff series they won, or the playoff series, he was out. He wasn't there.
That's right. Hilarious duo of Bruce Cassidy and Dominique Ducharme, really. Wow, our caller made it all the way from East Connecticut into the studio.
Atlantic Division friends coming together.
That was awesome.
No, I
hit the wrong button. I was trying to call Lori.
Oh.
I hit you, and then you guys all went into a tizzy as I was listening. I was like, oh, shit.
Hey, no swearing.
Online.
Oh, we can swear on air?
We can?
No FCC.
No, let's never go!
As long as I know, I gotta double check with Pete on that.
Sounds like Jacob Iron just gave us authorization to swear on air.
Whoa, let's not give it
What do you mean? That's literally what you just said!
I would never.
I'm pretty sure the San Jose Sharks is a swear word by now.
They won another game. They
Habs
are three now.
Odds we lose.
High.
I'm also said the Oilers apparently have won three in a row. One of which includes one of J-Rod Croft's games. So.
Yeah, they fired him after a win.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Okay, so let me just throw it on the table because I know we're all thinking it. A, justified firing? B, did they fire the wrong guy? Go.
Yes, they fired the wrong guy.
I agree.
This reminds me of 2018 when the Flyers fired Ron Hextall instead of Dave Hextall.
But vice versa.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. They got the wrong guy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I don't know how you don't fire the GM after the he's let the goalie situation, and granted, like, the goalie market's terrible, right? But he's let that that problem sit there for far too long. They've known about it, you know?
Yeah, and it's just strange to do it within 13 games after he takes Edmonton to the conference finals in the second round in two seasons.
Winningest coach in Oilers history.
Yeah,
win percentage.
Yeah, what was Edmonton doing in the postseason in the 3 years before that? I know they won a series in 2017, but that's it. They got bounced in the qualifying round in 2020 when Connor McDavid was going off. I mean, he found Edmonton's best postseason success of the McDavid Draisaitl era, and it's just strange to me to let that part of it go when I think the bigger question is it's been 6 years and you're still not finding a way to surround your stars enough. And I understand the stars aren't producing this year, but I mean, you kind of expect that to happen sometimes when the opponent can key in on them and there's not that much to worry about around them, you know?
Well, I think with McDavid right now, I think it's pretty clear he's playing hurt.
Yeah, that too.
So that's part of it as well. But to your point, it's odd to fire a head coach when you have such a clear weakness that is basically objectively not the head coach's fault in goaltending.
No.
Jack Campbell put on waivers last week. We'll see what his future has in store. The feel-good story that he was in Toronto has really just gone south.
Yeah.
In Edmonton. Looks like they've kind of given up on Connor Brown because they don't want to play him another game because then that big bonus kicks in. And we already know their cap's trapped as is. I don't want to have to worry about that next year, certainly. Especially because Leon Draisaitl at the end of next year is a free agent, which means at the end of this season, the Oilers can start negotiation talks. Connor McDavid's timeline is 1 year later. What do we think their futures look like in Edmonton or elsewhere?
Oh, you went there.
I went there. I think you have to go there at this point.
I don't. I just don't.
And we are starting to see stars in the NHL get more comfortable with leaving their drafted teams. We saw John Tavares leave in free agency a few years ago. Artemi Panarin, who had already been traded once. Johnny Gaudreau. It is starting to become more of a thing in the NHL. Matthew Tkachuk requesting a trade. Obviously, a little bit different circumstances there, but it's happening more and more.
I just look at McDavid's character, and I just don't see him conceivably leaving Edmonton.
What about Draisaitl? What if Draisaitl leaves first?
I don't see Draisaitl leaving McDavid. Not that I don't think he can play without McDavid, but why would you want to play without McDavid?
Because you can go to a team that is overall structured better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it's fair. Obviously, I'm not saying it's a set in stone or anything like that. The Oilers are absolutely doomed. Like, I think they could still recover and make the playoffs
this
year.
No, but I think it's a totally fair question to ask, right? Like, I would be frustrated if I were Connor McDavid. You'd be frustrated if you were. Like, there's no doubt about that. Not many players opt into a no-move clause in Edmonton, right? He did.
That's true.
You know,
I feel like he kind of had, felt, I mean, he felt like he had to, though, given just like the weight of the, if he hadn't gotten a no move clause, that would have stirred up all kinds of controversy when he signed that extension, even though he was only 2 years in the NHL at the time he signed.
He's got 3 years left on his deal?
Two.
Not including this season.
Not including this year. So three if you include this year. He's a 2026 free agent.
On his contract after this, I think the noise will get really loud if Edmonton doesn't do much in the playoffs in this season and the next two. Like, I think that's fair. I think right now there's no conceivable reason to believe he'd leave Edmonton. But, you know, it's a fair question, right? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm mostly in agreement for now. I think there's some time to let this play out. And at the end of the day, at this point, I mean, Edmonton's their team. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, who wouldn't do whatever it takes as far as the front office goes to try and keep those two around and together and see if there's the next wave that you can build around them and maybe something, although we certainly don't seem to expect it, maybe something clicks with this new head coach and there's some better sense of development there over the next few years. But
well, to that point, though, the Oilers have, I'm just doing some quick math here, about $70 million already committed to next year. And the players under contract are as follows: McDavid, Draisaitl, Zach Hyman, Evander Kane, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Ryan McLeod, Derek Ryan, Darnell Nurse, Matthias Ekholm, Evan Bouchard, top pair defenseman, Cody Ceci, Brett Kulak, Stuart Skinner, and the immovable contract of Jack Campbell, as well as a $2 million buyout penalty or so to James Neal. Do we think that the Oilers can build that team, given what they've already locked themselves into?
I mean, this has been the whole question with
exactly
the Maple Leafs as well, right?
Well, I thought you were going to say just the Oilers in general. It has been with Toronto, too.
It has been. And I think...
We can talk about their free agency distribution another day.
Yeah, and that's an interesting conversation, too, because, you know, I don't think William Nylander wants to leave. But anyways,
he might just simply be priced out.
Yeah, believe me, I hope one team, you know, a little bit up the road is all over him wearing their red sweaters.
Now the Flyers will do him a favor. We'll take on Tavares.
Do I think that they can build with what they have? Yeah, I do. You know, the situation of NHL goaltending right now is really interesting, right? You don't really have, outside maybe the two guys in New York, really like elite goaltenders. Now, I think Boston's goaltending is good, you know, but they're a really good tandem, right? It's totally different than what we saw 5 or 6 years ago when you'd have a Vasilevsky or a Carey Price or a, you know, Corey Crawford back in his heyday, right? Like, they carry the load.
Yep.
So maybe that's not what Edmonton needs, is that guy, because maybe they aren't out there. I don't know, but
it's fair, I think. All right, we have like a couple minutes left. I have to leave early for a coach's call, and then I'm the only one in that the Zoom seminar with Jason Kelly. Any other teams that you find interesting? I'm just looking at the standings really quick. Washington, after a very slow start, has turned things around. They're second in the Metro right now. Florida is 10-5-1, and I just saw on NHL.com. They're apparently supposed to get Aaron Ekblad and Brandon Montour back very soon, which was their whole thing. Can they weather the storm without those guys? It seems like the answer is yes.
Vancouver's still doing their thing.
Vancouver is still doing their thing. Their PDO is still very high, but they are still doing their thing indeed.
Got to shout out the Global Series 2 going on right now. Very excited to watch hockey at 8 a.m. on Sunday.
On NHL Network,
baby.
NHL
Network. I don't think they've done a great job promoting it.
No.
I hardly knew about it.
Are you telling me the NHL's marketing team has not done a stellar job?
Shocker.
Unbelievable.
Don't worry, though, guys. They're making up for it. And I have three letters for you. The three hottest letters among young people these days: NFT. Oh!
Yeah. NHL being out of touch is not exactly something new. But no, got to shout out the Global Series. I think it's, I'm excited to watch some of it now that I know what's going on. After last night, I did not know what's going on. So,
yeah, it was a crazy game, though. Detroit coming back from 4-0 down, only to lose in that Stutzla overtime winner.
I've got to figure out a way to get NHL Network working on my TV.
Fubo.
Fubo. Yeah. I have Hulu. So.
Yeah.
I'm also going to do one quick hit here just for 2 or 3 minutes. The following teams that made the Stanley Cup playoffs last year are currently not in a playoff position. Toronto, Tampa Bay, New Jersey, the Islanders were really down there, Seattle, Minnesota, Edmonton. How do we feel about all those teams' odds of getting back in the playoffs? Just real quick here, 2 minutes.
Toronto's number one for me.
So I mean, some of them are much less concerning than others, certainly. Like New Jersey's 8-6-1.
Yeah, I think
by points percentage, they would be in over Carolina. They sort by points on the NHL website. And I don't have time to filter it.
Yeah, I think Toronto and Tampa, both out of the Atlantic, are the two most logical choices for me.
Totally.
Especially with, I mean, you look at Detroit, Montreal, Buffalo, Ottawa. That is a sensible bottom four in the Atlantic.
I am sorry, actually. Toronto and Tampa are in wild card spots. Okay. Take that back. They're in spots. New Jersey is 1 point out, but
they're just very tied for them. There's like 5 teams in those spots, right?
Yeah. This the NHL, the new site, it used to have like a big black line under the wildcard teams, and now it's gone for some reason, which is annoying.
Yeah, so
yes.
I think the bigger questions you ask then are out west with Minnesota, Seattle,
Minnesota
and Edmonton.
Quietly have really struggled. They are looks like fourth worst in goal differential in the league. 3 straight losses.
Yeah, they just gave up 8 on Sunday.
Eeks.
And fortunately for them, I got 6 days off, but I mean, they have...
Philip Gustav looked like a one-hit wonder.
Yeah,
sadly.
They have a 3-game losing streak this year. They have a 4-game losing streak. They've given up 7-plus goals 3 times this year. That's not a winning formula.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I mean, you would think that Arizona, with how young that team is going to slow down. I mean, St. Louis certainly isn't any type of world beater, so you would think Minnesota could maybe slip back into the top three, or at worst a wild card in the West, but I mean, that's going to depend on how things shake out in the Pacific. If Vancouver stays, I think Vegas and LA are locks in the Pacific, and if Anaheim, with their hot start, another young team, holds on to it like, say, a New Jersey did the last couple of years or not, you know?
Yep. Murph, real quick, any last thoughts?
The whole like teams in the playoff by Thanksgiving thing is incredibly interesting. It really is. Like, and every time I hear that, I just go back to the Blues, right? Who are like win the Stanley Cup when they're out of it in like February or whatever.
Last place, January 3rd.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'd be concerned about Minnesota, just to be brief. Not as concerned about Edmonton yet. I just think it's such a hot mess, honestly, that the one thing that would concern me about Edmonton is McDavid's injury, right? If he is injured and he's not getting any better, they need him. So, no doubt.
All right. Well, I think we had a winning formula for today's show, even if I am still working on the Puktoku grid. We will not be back next week because it is Thanksgiving.
Woo!
Happy early Thanksgiving. To you, Tyler. I don't know if you count, Murph. I mean, Canadian Thanksgiving was a while ago. Now, happy Thanksgiving to you as well. And to all of our handful of listeners, we appreciate your loving support. Call in next time, Arthur from Connecticut.
We're going to talk about Michigan.
Yes. Oh, yes, that's right. It will be Michigan week. When we are back on 5 for Fighting Irish and WVFI. Until then, have a good week.